Turn with me now in your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 18. Luke, chapter 18. We'll be reading and looking at verses 15 through 17 this morning. So we'll begin then reading in Luke chapter 18 and verse 15. Read these three verses. Let us now hear God speak to us. Then they also brought infants to him that he might touch them. But when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them to him and said, "Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them. For of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." Thus far the reading of God's holy word. Let us now pray. Our God, we have heard you speak to us. We desire to hear from you. We desire to hear you apply this word to our hearts. Oh God, do that. Give us an understanding of who it is that comprises your kingdom, of who we need to be as those with childlike faith to come into and receive your kingdom. And God, do this all for our good and for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as I grew up in church, I remember being a young child and being in the services and sitting in the church during the sermon, and I will admit making paper airplanes out of the bulletins. My parents, I'm sure, were thinking, just don't throw that. Please don't throw that. But I also remember then a time where I got to leave the service. I got to go to children's church. I got to go play. We don't have that here. You children, are you listening to me? Children who are very young, maybe you're 1 or 2 years old, are you listening? Maybe you're a little older, maybe you're 7, 8, maybe you're older, 10, 12, 13. Are you listening to me? You're here. You're not sent off. You're here for a reason, because Jesus wants to talk to you today. Isn't that exciting? He wants to talk to you today. Jesus is glad that you're here. This, where we gather together as God's people, is where God is present. And God wants you in His presence. So that's encouraging, isn't it? Now, you adults, here's the danger. We have to keep the children entertained and quiet so we can hear the sermon. No. They have just as much a right to hear this sermon as you do. It's not keeping them quiet so we can hear it. Now, I'm not saying, children, don't hear me. Don't hear me saying that you can just go and make whatever noise you want. No. But this sermon is for you as well as your parents. It's encouragement to your children. It's encouragement to you, children. Jesus is happy that you are here. He wants you to know Him. And here we see that. You know, the context here is one in which Luke has been telling us that there is a distinction between individuals. There are people like the Pharisee who is proud, who says, "I'm glad I'm not like the tax collector." And then there's the tax collector who is humble, who says, "I am the sinner. I'm not worried about anybody else." And I think that here, as Luke goes on, he's going to show us a picture of humility in these children. And a picture of pride in the rich young ruler. And first it's going to be this picture of humility in children. Children are coming to Jesus. They're being brought by their parents. This is also recorded for us in Matthew 19, verses 13 through 15. And Mark 10, verses 13 through 16. But here's what we see. Jesus who came to show us who God is. In His earthly ministry, Jesus is here and He is receiving little children just like you children who are here today. He's receiving them. And as he does so, he rebukes his disciples and reminds them that his kingdom is comprised, made up of little children, just like this. Now, you little children, or just you bigger children, that's an encouragement, isn't it? That Jesus knows you, that he talks to you, that he wants you to hear him. And so we'll see three things from these three verses. First, Jesus does receive little children. Second, that Jesus rebukes those who would hinder little children from coming to him. And finally, Jesus reminds us all that we must be like little children if we are to enter his kingdom. So Jesus, we first see he receives little children. Verse 15, they also brought infants to him. Now, who is doing the bringing here but the parents? The parents are bringing their children to Jesus. They must have saw something in Jesus that said, I'm approachable. That said, I am willing to receive you. They are bringing their children. One commentator I read gave an illustration of Abraham Lincoln. Said this, once Abraham Lincoln's wife, Mary, was complaining to Noah Brooks, the newspaperman, about her husband. He's so like a child, Mrs. Lincoln began. I sometimes wonder if he even understands that he is the president. I cannot teach him. He will see them all, mere servants, washerwomen, anyone. He talks with anyone who will come. The wounded, office hunters, women with dead and wounded boys. And the more ragged they are, the more time he spends with them. What a great picture of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The more ragged they are, the longer he will sit and hear them. And who is it that is being brought to Jesus? The parents are bringing, Luke says here, infants. There are different Greek words for children. This word is infants, newborns. It's the same word that is used of John the Baptist and Jesus in the womb in Luke 1. It's the same term that's used of Jesus as he's laid in the manger in Luke 2. They are bringing little newborns to Jesus. Why? Why are they bringing them to Jesus? Well, we're told here that he might touch them. Matthew has that he might lay his hands on them and pray for them. They are seeking a blessing. They are coming to Jesus with their little babies in their arms, seeking him and his blessing. And they expected to receive it. These were Jews. These were Old Testament individuals. They understood Isaiah 44:3. I will pour water on him who is thirsty and floods on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit on your descendants, my blessing on your offspring. Peter will later echo this in the New Testament when he calls people to come in Acts 2, verse 39. The promise is to you and to your children. Bring them. Bring them. And how did Jesus respond to this? Well, I want to touch very quickly on how Jesus didn't respond. Notice these children are coming to him, being brought by their parents, and Jesus did not say, do you realize how busy I am? I have a lot of people to see. I really don't have time for this. Can't you see I have a world to save? Now, God often works on my own heart, as I'm preparing sermons. And he did so with this because as I was looking at this particular section of the sermon, I was working from my home office, and multiple times I was interrupted by my children. And they have a way of sneaking in and tapping me on my shoulder. It kind of startles me. And I'm tempted to say, can't you see I am in the middle of something important? And God said, is that what I said? So I stopped what I was doing and I talked to my children. Look at what Jesus does here. He didn't say, come back when I'm less busy. He also didn't say, bring your infants back when they can understand what I say. When they are at an age of discernment. No, he does not say this. He actually speaks directly to the children. He actually speaks directly to these infants. In fact, here in the text, in verse 16, Jesus called them to himself. Who's the them? Well, it agrees in the Greek, it agrees with the case of the word infants. He's speaking to them, to the infants. And he's calling them, not his parents, he's calling the infants to himself. Now, the parents had to carry him. But he says, infants, you come to me. You come to me. You see, the souls of children from the earliest age are capable of receiving grace. John the Baptist was filled with the Spirit in the womb. Timothy knew these saints from infancy. Scripture tells us the same word. Since you were the littlest of the little, you knew these things. So you children who are hearing my voice, you are not too young to know these things. You are not too young to hear the Word of God and to profit from it. You are not too young to hear Jesus call to you. It's a beautiful picture of baptism. In fact, in baptism, I call the parents and the child up, but I think I might say, okay, child, come up and bring your parents with you. Because Jesus here is calling out to the children. Come. Come and bring your parents with you. So children, when you're called up, it is Christ Himself calling you in baptism. Your parents have to come if you're younger because you can't walk, but He's calling to you. And parents, know this. Know this. You have a beautiful privilege to bring your children to the Lord Jesus Christ in baptism. And we see, children, how Jesus feels about you here, don't we? Do you think that there's anything that would keep Jesus back from you if He's calling children like you, little children, to Himself here? Absolutely not. And even more so if you've been baptized. If you've been baptized, then I encourage you, children, don't ever doubt the love of Jesus for you. Come to Him every day of your life. Speak to Him. Trust in Him. He will prove true. You see, Jesus, Scripture, the testimony of Scripture everywhere is that Jesus has concern for the littlest of the little. We even confess rightly, according to Scripture, that infants, little babies, are in heaven. They are. What does our catechism say? Catechism, on page 83 of our catechism, Article 17 of the Canons of Dort. Since we are to judge of the will of God from His Word, which testifies that the children of believers are holy, not by nature, but in virtue of the covenant of grace, in which they, together with the parents, are comprehended. Godly parents ought not to doubt the election and salvation of their children, whom it pleases God to call out of this life in their infancy. What a beautiful thing that is. Now, it's a beautiful thing for us today, but this truth would have been even more beautiful for those living at this time. We are blessed that in our day we rarely experience the death of an infant, but that's a rather modern phenomenon. That's some statistics. It's estimated in Rome that 30% of children died within the first year. Only 49% lived to their fifth birthday, and only 40% lived to the age of 20. You see, the situation was a lot different for most of history. So this is a great comfort to those who lose children in infancy. Jesus died. See, here's the truth. Jesus died for babies and little children, as well as grown-ups, and thank God for it. Then the question may come, what about unbelievers? Well, it's a little bit more difficult there. We have to say, I don't know for certain. But here's how I would answer someone. Someone who has a question. I've lost a child. I'd bring them to this text. Say, I don't know, but I know who God is. And let me tell you what Jesus did while He was on the earth. Let me tell you the heart of God. Here is the heart of God. He values even the youngest of children. He called them to himself. He even rebuked his disciples for trying to stop them. This is the heart of God for children. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father, Jesus said. This is the heart of God for children, even newborn babies. And so what we learn here is that the souls of children are capable of salvation, no matter how young they are, no matter how young they may die. When a child dies, God receives them, particularly we know the child of Christian parents, into the church in heaven, which is why we dare not exclude them from the church on earth. So Jesus here receives the little children, even the newborn babies. And as a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ, I dare not prevent them from coming to him, which is exactly what the disciples, incidentally, were trying to do. They were trying to stop the children. We see Jesus receives the little children, but Jesus also rebukes those who seek to hinder the little children from coming to him. We're told that the disciples, when they saw it in verse 15, they rebuked them. Now, this them is not the children. Actually, the disciples then are rebuking the parents. Why are you bringing your children to see the Master? And we're not told why they did this. I doubt that they just had it in for children, that they didn't like them. They were probably just trying to guard the Master. He's so busy. He doesn't have time for this. He cannot be bothered with such unimportant creatures as these little infants who can do nothing for him. You can picture the disciples standing there with a clipboard. Jesus, it's not on our to-do list. All of these little infants, they're not on our to-do list. And then turning to the people and saying, go, leave. The Master cannot see you. Oh, may we never tell our children, Jesus doesn't have time for you and doesn't want you. Right, this is a danger for us. We can make a to-do list and forget about the people that God has put in our lives. That is, I was preparing for this. I was challenged not that to-do lists are wrong, but maybe instead of having a to-do list, maybe it's better to have a to-serve list. Not what we are to do, but who we are to serve. And certainly these little children were on Jesus' to-serve list. So the disciples said, it's not on the to-do list, go away. Jesus said, no. No. Have you forgotten who I am? Have you forgotten that I am the one who said, come to me all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me. Jesus corrects his disciples here. After calling the children, remember, he's calling the children to himself. Children, come to me. He tells his disciples, positively, let the little children come to me. And negatively, do not forbid them. In other words, Jesus is saying, there is no one who is too young to be brought to me. And he adds, because of such is the kingdom of God. In other words, Jesus is saying, you see these infants that parents are carrying and bringing to me? These are the people who make up my church. These are the people who are in my kingdom. How dare you exclude them where I have not excluded them? It's as if Jesus says, these are my subjects. I am their king. I am their God. Shall not the little lambs come to the great shepherd? How dare you keep them from me? You see, children are a very important part of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see here the head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ, says, do not neglect these little ones. Let them come to me. And so it's important for us in the church, particularly as parents, to train up children. It's important to believe that the Spirit is at work in them even when we cannot see it as we would like. It's important for us to keep them before Christ in prayer. And children, what a comfort it is to you. Jesus says here, I'm not going to let anything get in the way of my relationship with you. Even my well-meaning disciples who have my to-do list, no. Because I have a to serve list, and it includes all of you little children. And isn't that a great comfort? But not only then does Jesus receive the little children, not only does he rebuke all who seek to stop him from receiving them, but he reminds his disciples of a great truth. That all who come to him, all of his subjects, all of those who are in the kingdom of God, who hope to receive it and enter it, must be as these little children are. Jesus reminds his disciples to be like little children. It says that in verse 17. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. By no means enter it. Now here he says, receive the kingdom. What do you receive but a gift? The kingdom, what Christ is giving to us all, whether we are young or old, is a gift of God. It is to be received as such. But it must be received in a certain way. Received as a child. Notice, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, like a little child, would we have to ask the question, how would a little child receive anything? Well, the first thing that I want you to understand is that a child, and maybe you parents have witnessed this, they are bold in asking and receiving. Sometimes my children have gone and said, I'm going to go ask so-and-so for this. And I'm thinking, I wouldn't go ask for that. But they do and they get it. Because they go and they just ask. They're not timid. They just go out and boldly ask for it and they get it. They come. See, a child doesn't try to merit a gift. A child knows it's a gift. We can often start to receive something and think, okay, wait, there's a catch. What do I have to do? But no, a child comes and doesn't even think about merit. They're happy that they get the gift without merit. They're not thinking, what do I have to do to pay back for this gift? Now, I'm not saying if you get a gift not to give thanks and send a thank you card, but be careful. Are you thinking, well, that's somehow repayment for what I've received? No, children, you know, you do have to tell them, say thank you. But they are like, this is great. I've got this gift. I'm receiving it. A child isn't too proud to receive a gift. Sometimes we can let our pride get in the way of receiving from others. Well, if I receive that, it says something about me. It says that I have a need. Well, guess what? You do. Children, though, they don't have that pride in them thinking, well, oh, there's something I need that's going to make me look weak. They just take what is given to them. A child receives a gift with trust in the giver. Trust in the giver, knowing that the giver is willing to give. This trust is a simple childlike trust. The Catechism says it's a hearty trust. It's a hearty trust. It comes from the heart. A child receives a gift with a humble dependence on the giver, knowing that the giver has exactly what they need. You know, as Jesus here says, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, I'm reminded of Matthew 18, 3 and 4. Jesus says, assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. This is also just a wonderful reminder in the sacrament of baptism. I love when little infants are brought up for baptism. Because as I look at that little infant, you know what I'm thinking? That's me. I can't do anything for myself. That little infant could not walk up here. That little infant could not remain up here. That little infant could not do anything. But God does it all. That's the place I'm at. That's what I need. That's what we all need. We are helpless. God in Scripture in the Old Testament says that we're like an infant thrown out on their birthday, covered in blood, not washed up, in the wilderness, ready to be consumed by wild animals. And then God finds us. And what does He do? He takes us out of that place. He washes us and He wraps us. What a beautiful picture of God's care for His people. And then He ends with a warning. If you do not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, you will by no means enter it. By no means enter it. It's a double negation. He's serious. You see that too. Assuredly. Amen. Truly, truly. By no means. If you do not come and receive this as a gift, trusting in me that I can provide it, humbly depending upon me for everything, just like that infant who comes up here and is presented in baptism, couldn't do anything for themselves. If you don't come in that way, you will not be in the kingdom. You see, as we grow older, we can start to lose that childlike dependence because we think we're smarter than we are. But we ought not to do that ever. Ought not to do that ever. It's almost as if Jesus is saying to his disciples, you are trying to prevent these children from coming to me, from entering my kingdom. Stop it. You need to look at yourself, because if you don't become like them, I will prevent you from entering my kingdom. But oh, those who come to him with childlike faith, trusting in Christ, hearing his words. No matter what age you are, children, listen to me. I'm not going to start rattling off all your ages. I don't know them. But I don't care if you are, I don't care if you're 1 day old. I don't care if you're 1 month old. I don't care if you're 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, whatever it is. You hear me. Jesus is calling you to himself. Jesus is calling you to himself. In fact, he wants you to come so greatly that he rebuked his disciples because they tried to stop children just like you from coming. Do you see how much Jesus cares for you? Do you doubt his love? Will you come to him? And parents, don't you see how approachable Jesus is when it comes to your children? How you can bring them to him? In baptism, how you can bring them to him in prayer. How he says to them and to you, come, come to me. And he says this to all of us, come to me, not with your pride, not with your merit, not with anything you can bring, but come to me just as little children must come to me in humble dependence upon me. Trusting that I have what you need, that I am willing to give you what you need, and that I have given you all that you need in Christ Jesus. Because I can tell you that is the only way anyone will ever enter the kingdom of God. Amen. Let us pray. Our God, we pray that you will humble our hearts, make us as little children who trust in you, who depend upon you, who look to you for all that we need. And we thank you for our children. Bless them richly. Work even in the womb, in their hearts, and regenerate them and give them new life. Oh God, we thank you that you do all this for us and that we know that we can do nothing. And God, we ask that you would continue to watch over us and draw near to us as we draw near to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.